Welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming to Los Angeles and participating in this panel on the environment. Also with us is a panel of reporters who specialize in politics and the environment. A bit later, they'll be questioning the candidates on the specifics of their environmental platforms. We'll also have some questions submitted by our audience from the Internet. And at the end of the program, each candidate will have the opportunity to make a closing statement. Well, we're now joined by the Reverend Al Sharpton from the state of New York. Glad to see you, Reverend Sharpton. We weren't told that you were missing, so we're glad that you've joined us. Thanks very much for being with us.
Getting through the smog.
Once again, the panel of reporters will be asking questions a bit later, and first we're going to have a brief roundtable between myself and the candidates so that you can all give us a sense of where you're coming from. You don't have to wait for me to call on you, but once again, you've graciously agreed to hold your answers to 1 minute, and if you would do that during that period of time, your answers or your comments, we'll be able to cover a lot more subjects than we would otherwise. So let's try to maintain that as we will. And again, the League of Women Voters is out in front with signs to help us all stay in line. We all know that your objective is to run against President Bush. We all know that you're opposed to most of his policies, if not all of his policies, on the environment. But the first primary in your own Democratic Party hasn't been held yet. So this is an opportunity for you to set forth your own priorities for the environment and also to make it clear how you differ from one another on a host of different issues that we refer to when we say the environment. The president took some heat this week because the EPA's new report on the environment was said to have played down the issue of global warming. Senator Lieberman, how important do you think is global warming, and what specifically would you do about it?
Thank you, Warren. Global warming is the most critical long-term environmental challenge that America and the world faces. This administration has been profoundly irresponsible in dealing with this. In fact, it pulled us out of the Kyoto Protocol to deal with global warming, and in doing so, separated us from the rest of the world in a way that's had profound and adverse consequences for our foreign policy. Incidentally, the decision by this administration to block out scientific fact from its EPA report about global warming because it didn't meet its political conclusions was outrageous. And it is more typical of the old Soviet Union than of the United States of America. But it's not new for this administration. I have been fighting to do something about global warming since I came to the Senate in 1989. I went to Kyoto and Buenos Aires. John McCain and I today have the most comprehensive, constructive, aggressive program to deal with global warming that anyone has yet produced. We're going to put it on as an amendment to the energy bill in the Senate after July 4th when that bill comes up. It sets standards, caps. It would bring us to back or up to 2000 emission levels by 2010 and 1990 emissions level by 2016. That would not only protect us and the generations to follow us, but it would restore us to our moral role as leader of the world in dealing with a problem that we are the major cause of.
Governor Dean, is there any, in your mind, any scientific disagreement about global warming that's significant, or do you think it really is established fact?
It's established fact unless you're in the Bush administration. It's clearly a scientific. I agree with Joe. One of the things that drives me absolutely crazy in all areas, not just the environmental area, is this president is willing to discard science because he doesn't care about science. This is an administration that has substituted thought for, ideology for thought. And you can't run a country, you can't run a state, you can't run a company if facts don't matter and facts don't matter to this administration. I will note, however, just on a note of sort of sadness in one way, this is Christy Whitman's last day on the job as EPA director. And you may applaud, but this is a woman who I served with. She wasn't all that bad for a Republican on environmental issues. And she has to be leaving because nobody pays any attention to her. She hasn't run the EPA since she arrived there. It's all run by the right-wing young folks from inside the White House who don't care about environmental protection. She tried to do her job. She left because the White House has told her what to do, and I think it's a disgrace.
If global warming is a moral issue, Senator Lieberman, then Do you have a responsibility to call on the American people to sacrifice in order to try to deal with it? We're going to have to give something up?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You sacrifice for a purpose, and the purpose is to protect the generations that will follow us here in America and on overall on Earth from the dire and potentially catastrophic consequences of climate change and global warming.
So what sacrifices do we need to make?
Pardon?
What sacrifices do we need to make?
Well, we're number one, and this is part of my own energy declaration of independence, we've got to break our addiction to foreign oil. We've got to break our addiction to oil. Don't expect leadership on that front from an administration that is from oil, by oil, and for oil. As president, I'm going to do better than that. We've got to invest in new technologies. We've got to be willing to take on what's a controversial matter in the Democratic Party. We've got to demand by law that American automakers produce cars that are fuel efficient. And I set a standard in my proposal of 40 miles per gallon average fuel efficiency by the year 2015. This is all about leadership, and leadership that doesn't do just what's popular at the moment by ignoring problems, but leadership that sees a problem coming over the horizon and asks the American people to do something about that. The bill I have with John McCain would do exactly that in 80% of the emissions of our
country.
Let me
go to former Senator Mosley Braun and ask you the same question. Do you think that the American people are going to have to give things up in order to cope with the environment? Is that something that you think is going to be part of the Democratic campaign next year?
At the outset, I want to thank the League of Conservation Voters and everybody here for coming and for having this dialogue and discussion. I think these issues, when Jill Lieberman uses the term morality and outrage in connection with what's happening with environmental protection, he's exactly right. These people have missed the point altogether. This administration has lied to the American people, and we have failed in our responsibility in a variety of ways, emissions policy just being one of them, pulling out of Kyoto being just one of them. But let me say that while there will have to be sacrifices, I think in some ways that sets up almost a false set of choices. The fact of the matter is that we can reduce our dependence on carbon-based fuels. We can have technology investment in the first instance and technology transfer that will get us away from this addiction to the energy policies that are killing our planet. We can make choices, sensible choices, that will give us, in some ways, a more conservative lifestyle, but certainly not one that will pit one group of Americans against another, pit economic development against protection of the environment. That set of false choices has been, I think, the smokescreen for an awful lot of confusion around these issues and has helped to peel off constituencies and people who might otherwise not only understand, but support conservation based on the notion that they'll lose their jobs. I think that that's a false set of choices. I think we should make the point to the American people as Democrats that we can rebuild this economy, we can jumpstart this economy, we can create jobs, and we can protect our environment at the same time.
Senator Kerry, we've heard that this is a moral issue, that it's terribly important. We've heard that sacrifices will need to be made if we're going to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, if we're going to cut back on pollution. But what specific sacrifices are going to have to be called for?
Well, let me speak to that in a moment. But first, I want to say, first of all, thank you for the privilege of being here. And thank you for what the League of Conservation Voters does. There are many of my colleagues and myself who've run with great support from the grassroots of this organization, and we appreciate it. Secondly, let me say that with respect to the EPA, that is one of the most disgraceful steps by this administration that keeps faith with their continued effort to say one thing and do another. And I sent a letter to the Inspector General of the EPA asking that they conduct an appropriate investigation of how it is that the White House doctored what is an official government document by a departing secretary. I think that's inappropriate, and we should do that. Secondly, with respect to the question of sacrifice, I think it's critical for us, I certainly believe, I want to be a president who asks the Americans to do the right thing. I believe the sacrifices that are needed are the sacrificing of bad habits and the sacrificing of selfishness. But we do not have to ask Americans to sacrifice quality of life. And that's a critical distinction to make as we think about what we are saying to Americans. We have the technology, we have the capacity, we have the will, we have the commitment, we have the entrepreneurial skill to be able to develop the means of driving better cars without reducing their capacity to carry the soccer mom to the field, without reducing the capacity of people on farms to be able to do what they do. So we need to talk directly to the American people. I want the cars of the future made in Detroit. I want them made by Americans. And I believe that this administration is culpable of walking away from America and from jobs by not exciting the possibilities of the future vehicles. I drove over here today with Peter Horton in an electric car that they've ceased to make at GM. Honda and Toyota are making the hybrids. We need leadership that is going to say that by the year 2020, 20% of America's electricity is going to be produced from alternatives and renewables. We're going to raise the emission standards of our cars, just like you all had the courage to do out here in California. And we are going to set this country on the path to energy independence. We're going to create the jobs of the future in doing so. And we don't have to sacrifice one iota of quality of life to do that.
Reverend Sharpton, if it does come down at some point to a choice between jobs and the environment, which is more important?
Well, first of all, let me join my colleagues in thanking the League for having this forum. And as I said, I was a little late working my way through the smog to get here, which is why I want to be president, so we can have standards against that. But let me say first, I must disagree that I don't join in the mourning of Chrissy Whitman leaving, only because she may be coming back to New Jersey, where she was not very good as governor for us. So I think that it is appropriate that Chrissy Whitman put her name to a document that is just as flawed as the documents of weapons of mass destruction from the other side of this very same administration. I think what we must do is we must not allow this administration to continue to use the boogeyman in every argument. They've used it to justify Iraq. They're using it to try and do what they're doing in the environment and to try to stop us from moving from a oil-dependent economy. The fact of the matter is, to ask someone are they going to sacrifice their job for their health, it's like asking a drug addict, are you going to sacrifice dope for your health? The fact of the matter is we should not try and act as though we have a choice in terms of moving to what is more efficient, more healthy, more life-sustaining, and is better for our grandchildren and their grandchildren. So to try and act like Americans are so cheap that we would rather be paid to do something that is detrimental than to try and achieve the transfer into hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles. Americans understand, if they are exposed to the facts, that where we are now will harm us. It will bring us to levels that we cannot sustain the humanity of this country and humanity of the world. And we ought not make false choices to them. What the boogeyman said, you got to hold on to your job, therefore choke yourself to death. No, you need to clear up an oil-based economy, free ourselves, and build jobs by building hybrid vehicles and by building electric vehicles. And I think that as we raise the standards, the corporate average fuel should be, we should have a goal of trying to do 45 miles per gallon. We're now at about, 27 miles, 0.1. I think that as we build toward efficiency and health, we ought not tell people that the payoff is that they can get paid to kill themselves.
Governor Dean, let me ask you this. If people are buying SUVs, and they're buying SUVs that don't get very good mileage, they're not buying the hybrids, they're not buying the electric cars. How do you get them to change that habit?
Well, let me talk a little bit about that in terms of what we did in Vermont. We're actually one of four states that have adopted the California car, and I was in our state, we were one of the original pioneers of electric vehicles. Electric vehicles don't work very well in Vermont because we drive a long way to work. We've got a lot of hills, and it's very cold. But I wanted to be in with California, Massachusetts, and New York because I thought it was important to push the car companies. The car companies simply don't seem to respond to market forces, and the way to move technology is to force them to do it through regulation, and that's what we did with electric vehicles. We also get 2% of our power through something called Efficiency Vermont, the first program of its kind in the country. We actually take a little piece of everybody's electric bill and hire an energy efficiency utility to go around to businesses, farms, houses, and factories to teach people how to conserve electricity. That's 2% of our total load saved. So the way to deal with reducing greenhouse gases, the way to deal with conserving the environment is, in fact, to substitute not only fuels with renewables and wind and so forth, but also to conserve, and we're not doing it. In terms of SUVs, you've got to conserve. The only way to deal with SUVs is to increase their mileages per gallon and to give people, to remove the tax incentives they have now to buy electric vehicles, and then to actually give tax incentives to people who will buy hybrids and EVs. EVs didn't work in Vermont, but they will work in L.A. because people can use, in metropolitan areas, EVs. When you can get out, you go relatively short distances, plug in the car, and then get out and move it. My wife could use one, and we need more of that, and it's not going to happen unless we push the technology hard enough with tax credits and restrictions on what can be sold by automobile companies in order to get those cars in the market. Once they're in the market in a critical mass, then the price comes down.
You used the phrase, force change through regulation. Do you all agree that that's what has to happen? Do we have to force change through regulation?
I think you have to go further than that. It's not just a question of the regulatory scheme. For instance, there is an absolutely insane, obscene tax credit for the purchase of Humvees. We are encouraging people to go out and buy the biggest. Uncle Sam and the average taxpayer is paying for Americans to go out and buy the biggest gas guzzler there is. That tax credit has to be taken away immediately. And we have to put, more importantly, we need a president with a larger vision, Warren, who's prepared to say to America, look, whenever we've been pushed, we've transitioned. We transitioned from wood to coal, from coal to oil, from oil to a hybrid of nuclear, hydro, different things. We have the capacity now to push the curve if we will harness the entrepreneurial skill and energy of this country. What I'm going to do is take $20 billion that is paid in the royalties that come from gas and oil companies today that are paid for the use of public lands, and we're going to create a hydrogen institute. We are going to push the curve of discovery in America. We're going to begin to demand that we live up to the standard of independence that Americans can do.
Now, right, let me go back to Senator Lieberman. You, I think, wanted to comment on this question of forcing through regulation. Is that what we have to do?
Well, it's part of it. I mean, I think the point of this is that we need a president who will be a leader, who will call on the American people to get together, to unite, to deal with a problem that is affecting our health and that is affecting the purity of our environment. And to me, I'll give you a contrast here, and it's an unbelievable contrast. The Bush administration, as you all know in California, filed a lawsuit here along with others opposed to California's pioneering progressive zero emissions vehicle law. Now, that's not leadership by this president. That's yielding to special interests who don't want to change. My presidency would set standards for America. I've proposed a goal of reducing our dependence on foreign oil by 2 million barrels a day, and that would let the automobile companies figure out how to do that. So long as they reach that goal, it would mean, in my opinion, cars of 40 miles per gallon. The law has to lead here. Instead of opposing zero emissions vehicles, I would join my colleagues, as I have proposed, and offer tax credits to consumers who buy fuel-efficient and clean vehicles. That's what leadership is about, and that's what I propose to do as president.
Senator Mosley Brown, what would you like to offer here that we haven't heard yet in terms of a specific priority for the environment that, if elected president, you would want to accomplish?
To use a nursery school term, I would encourage working well with others. The fact is that we have pulled out of Kyoto. Other nations are going forward. In fact, there are reports that just today the European Union is trying to implement some of the steps that Kyoto recommended. The global warming, the sustainable development blueprint that was built up and that was written up in Johannesburg, the Johannesburg conference that we pulled out of, would be another nice place to start to begin to work with others around the world to build a climate of support for sustainable development, for reducing carbon emissions, for preventing the harm before it happens. This administration has moved into carbon sequestration and the like, but that's very much like closing the barn door after the horse is out. You have to stop the harm first, and to do that, you have to work with others to begin to harness the capacity that my colleague has referred to. So that, I mean, that's one part, one place to start. Obviously, internationally to work with others, domestically to use policy, both in terms of tax policy as well as specific initiatives for technology transfer to begin to reduce our emissions of greenhouse gases and begin to set this country on a path of energy independence.
Reverend Sharpton, same question to you. What do you have to say that we haven't heard yet in terms of priorities?
I agree with what basically has been said, but I think in addition to the fact that we must regulate business. First of all, you have to have a president that feels that big business did not send him to Washington, that the people did, and that they have no fear in making sure that big business operates in the best interest of the public, that they're not considering themselves the representatives of big business in Washington, as the present administration has. But I think in line with that, you must have an attorney general that will enforce the law. We're talking about how not only do we need further regulations, we have a U.S. Attorney General who will lock environmentalists up for protesting, but will not implement state implementation laws on emissions and other things that are already on the books. I was involved in a protest in the island of Vieques around environmental issues. Ashcroft made sure we were arrested, but they can't seem to find people that are polluting the water, polluting the air, that are doing emissions. They can hear lawyers talking to clients in the middle of the night, but they can't find people that are polluting people in broad daylight. I'd have an attorney general that would enforce the law. That's something new that you haven't heard for 2 years.
It's just about time to go to the questions from the reporters. Let me just ask any of you to chime in at this moment and raise an issue. Give us a priority. Give us a particular issue that you're concerned about. Very briefly, 10 seconds. Let me just go down the line. Senator Lieberman, you first.
The Clean Power Act. You know, air pollution in America is causing 30,000 people to die prematurely every day. And a lot of this is coming from old power plants. The Bush administration actually wants to make that worse with the proposal that's made, which would cause 9,000 additional people to die earlier than they otherwise would.
So you want to crack down on emissions from power plants.
Clean Power Act, close the loophole, close the old plants unless they can clean up and not hurt people,
Governor
not
Dean.
Kill people.
When I was governor, my major environmental contribution was conservation. The top priorities as president, conservation and wilderness. Dealing with brownfields and making Superfund work again. And then the biggest emphasis is reducing our reliance on foreign oil, using renewables in a sustainable economy.
Okay, Senator Braun, same thing, 15, 20 seconds.
When I was in the Senate, I did brownfields legislation, and I would certainly want to continue in that regard. I also was active in past legislation having to do with environmental justice, which is another whole issue. But I also think that the issue of agriculture policy and public lands is a place where we really have to focus in terms of protecting the environment.
Senator Kerry?
I want to change the entire debate and discussion about the environment in this country. It is about jobs, it's about health, it's about our legacy as a generation, and it is about national security. And we need to make it clear to the country that the false choice that's been given by this administration, it's either jobs or the environment, is wrong. The environment is jobs, and we're going to prove to Americans we can put them to work, and we're going to do it in a way, Warren, that's just. 80% of all the Hispanics in America live in counties that have bad air. 25% of the kids in New York have asthma today. We need an environmental justice enforcement
at the Civil Rights Department of the Justice Department, and I intend to guarantee that we restore that.
Reverend Sharpton, a new subject. Go ahead.
You were asking me the same question.
10 or 15 seconds, whatever you'd like to introduce.
No, environmental justice. I think that we've seen various communities in this country penalized just because of where they were and the income level. We've seen in some of these emission trade agreements that has impacted people wrongly. I would clearly fight hard for environmental justice. I would also fight for an absolute cap on carbon dioxide. I would absolutely reenter the discussions around the Kyoto Accord.